Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62. And I'll begin reading it, verse 10. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. There's a beautiful harmony in all of the scriptures. We read them and sometimes we fail to remember that this is a sacred book. This is God's infallible word. This does not just contain the words of God. It is the Word of God. And the one way especially that you can know this is that in all that it says, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament, in all that it says, it always gives the glory to God. Especially in salvation, it always gives the glory to God. But so often, preachers and people alike, they feel like that the work of God depends on them. I'm afraid that as we get older and weaker, maybe we realize the more and the more that this is not the case. He uses instruments. He uses means. His people are even described as workers together with him. But we can rest assured that the work of God in saving his people really depends on God alone in every aspect. And if you note what he says for us to do in verses 10 and 11, he tells us to go through the gates and prepare the way of the people. He says, cast up and cast up the highway and gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. I believe this is a reference to what the Old Testament says about the ways that were leading to the cities of refuge. Those main arteries that led to each of the cities of refuge, they were to be built up and maintained, and all the stones and all the obstacles removed from those ways, so that the manslayer in his fleeing, in his running to seek refuge in the city of refuge, would have no hindrances. He'd have a highway. It would be free of stones. And then it says, lift up a standard for the people. Those refuge cities were to the ways were to be marked with signs pointing to them. This is a city of refuge. All every main artery leading to that city was to be marked clearly. This is the way. This is the city of refuge is ahead. And so we lift up the gospel. We lifted up the standard or the banner, as Christ is called. We say, this is the way of salvation. This is the way of life. This is the way of righteousness. This is the way of peace. You run to Him and flee to Him. And then He says this, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. When will the end of the world take place? The end of the age take place? It'll be when there's no more gospel preached. It'll be when there's no more word of hope sounded. It'll be when there's no more good news stated, because all of His sheep will be brought in. He says, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. What's the salvation of Zion? The Lord Jesus Christ. What is Zion? The people of God, the church, the elect of God. And Christ is her Savior. And He says, behold, His reward is with Him. And His work before Him. He's finished His work. His work is before Him. And then note it, what it says in verse 12. It says, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out. Sought out, a city not forsaken. You see, God gives us this to be declared, to be announced, proclaimed. And He reminds us by all these names of what we are by the grace of God. We're that holy people. We're that redeemed of the Lord. And we'll be called, sought out. Sought out. And the reason for this is because the Father, God the Father, He has initiated, He has chosen, He has predestinated, He has conformed a people to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He put them in a covenant called the everlasting covenant. And He made them for no reason known to them or anybody else. He made them the objects of His love and His grace and His mercy. He made them a people unto Himself. They're said to be the Lord's inheritance. And He's going to have them. Just as sure as I'm standing here, He's going to have every one of them. And also because the Son, He came into this world and He died for them. He laid down His life for His people. He redeemed them by His precious blood. He paid the ransom price. He laid down His life for the sheep. And now, because of this, the Holy Spirit will assure that they're all saved. He'll surely assure that they all experience this salvation that glorifies God. They will all be brought to Christ. They will all come to the knowledge of the truth. They will all come to have faith. They will all be found. Not one of them will be lost. But lost is what they became in the Adam fall. They, like him and all his descendants, fell in sin, became alienated from God. Like sheep, they went astray, and they're lost. You ever been lost? I've been in the woods, way back in the woods, and I've been lost. It isn't a good feeling. They became lost. And he says in Jeremiah, my people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. The shepherd's supposed to lead them. The shepherd is supposed to save them. But he says their shepherds have caused them to go from mountain to mountain, mountain to hill, and leave a resting place. Those are false shepherds. So in time, they are, as they are born, and they are in this condition, scattered throughout time, scattered throughout the world in every age, people of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. But though they fell in Adam, they did not fall out of grace. They did not fall out of Christ. You see, he says in Revelation, these were redeemed from among men. Christ has a people that he redeemed from among men. And they must be brought. You see, they must be brought because it's God's will. It's God's purpose. Where we read just in Psalm 135, whatsoever the Lord desired, that's what he does. It's God's will. It's God's purpose. Men always are talking about free will and man's will and choice and chance and everything else. But they're going to be saved because this is God's will. This is the will of him that sent me. I lose nothing. I lose nothing. They're going to be saved because Christ has satisfied God's justice on their behalf. He's already paid everything. He already has the receipt in his hand. They're going to be saved because that justice that required in salvation that he suffer in their place, that same justice requires that they go free. They're everyone going to go free. And they must because it's impossible for the Holy Spirit to fail. Some people hate that term, irresistible grace. But it's just true. That means not that we cannot resist grace. It means that no object of grace can resist God's grace successfully. His Spirit works in us both the will and to do of his good pleasure. It's impossible for the Holy Spirit to fail. Christ said, all that the Father giveth me, they'll come to me. And this is what God says again and again and again. It's what he's been saying throughout all the Old Testament scriptures and through the New Testament scriptures. And he says it right here, thou shalt be called sought out. Sought out. Because Christ said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, everybody, in a general sense, is lost in sin. But only the people of God are affectionately and time and time again spoken of as the lost sheep. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Turn over with me to Ezekiel chapter 34. Everybody who's saved, that is, has experienced salvation, they were sought out by God. Ezekiel chapter 34. And verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. You can't hide from God. I don't care where you go, you can't hide from God. You can't escape his presence. You can't go anywhere. Just like Adam and Eve found out in the garden, they went and hid themselves in the tree of the garden. But God found them. He sought them. All he had to do for them to go to hell was just leave them alone. But he sought them, and he sought them to do them good. He sought them to cover their nakedness, to show them the way of salvation. And so he says here, he'll search for his sheep and seek them as a shepherd seeketh his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. That's a good picture of this world. That's a good picture of this time in which we live. That's a good picture of how things are as far as light and truth is concerned. It's a cloudy and a dark day. And I will bring them out from the people. It's not all people here. But he says, I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. And I will bring again, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. You see, when God seeks a person out, in this sense, he seeks them out to do them good. There's not any doubt but what we flee from the Lord. We hide from the Lord. We want nothing to do with him because we're so ignorant and blind. But he keeps on seeking us and finds us to do us good. He said, I'll feed them. Only the Lord can feed us. Only the Lord God Almighty can feed you of that which your soul longs for. Christ, in all his names, is always the satisfaction of what man needs and longs for, but seeks to feed in something else. He said, I'm the bread. I'm the water. I'm the peace. I'm the righteousness. When God finds us, he reveals to us that Christ is all these things, not only the satisfaction of God on our behalf, but the satisfaction of our souls. He says, I'll feed them in a good pasture. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What are all those green pastures? They're his precious promises. They're his word. They're the things that when the Lord enables us to enter into them, bring us the most joy, the most comfort, the most satisfaction, the most peace, the most hope. In verse 15 he says, and I'll cause them to lie down. I'll cause them to lie down. What in the world does that mean? It means, I don't know about you, but when I lie down, I try to rest. Takes a lot of it for me these days, it seems like. But when God gives us Christ, when He makes Christ known to our souls, when He enables us to believe on Christ for everything, only then does our soul rest. Come unto me, all ye labor, and I'll give you rest. He doesn't seek them to do them evil. He doesn't seek them to punish them. He is not in a search for them that He might do them harm or that He might get them. That's what preachers say. God's going to get you. I'm thankful He's already got me. And He's already got all of His people in the truest sense, has already possessed them and had them, owned them for His own from time and eternity. And Christ has bought them and redeemed them so that they're His. And the Holy Spirit will come and make it known to them. They'll be sought out. He seeks them out to do them good. Look over in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 18 and verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you that he rejoiceth more over that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Now look at this next verse. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It's not the will of not even one of God's little children that they should perish. Look over in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. It says that the Lord Jesus spake a parable. Now, verse 4 begins that parable and says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? Until he finds it. Now there are three parts of this parable. Three parts. One has to do with a coin. Coin. Now you see a coin on the ground, nobody will even stop and pick it up. But evidently this coin was worth something to this woman. There's a coin. That's the first one. The second one has to do with a lost sheep. A lost sheep. And the third one has to do with the Son. And they all three have one thing in common. They're all lost. They're all lost. One of them, the coin, is a picture of an inanimate dead object to show us something of our condition. We're like a coin. We can't find ourselves. We don't have life until He gives us spiritual life. We're just dead. Sometimes I want to ask people, do you not understand what is meant about dead? Dead in trespasses and sin. Without life. Dead. The other is given to us to show us how we are astray sheep. We're all astray from God. Everybody says they're searching for God. Oh, no. They're searching and seeking for any God but God. And the third is given us to show how rebellious we are. That son who is rebellious, that we have called the prodigal son. You know who the prodigal son? Every one of God's elect. Rebelling against God, rebelling against God's goodness, wasting all, doing all that displeases Him, and being so far out, if He doesn't seek us, we won't find Him. So you have a coin, you have a lost sheep, you have a lost son. But there's another characteristic of them. They're all found. They're everyone found. The woman, she searches after that coin. It says she sweeps her house. She turns over everything until she finds it. I got it. The shepherd, he leaves the 99. He searches over the mountains, the hills, the valleys, the darkness, every place for his sheep until he finds it. And that son, somebody said, well, he didn't get found. Oh, I think he did. Because his father was watching for him every moment. Expect. He was expecting him to be found. He was expecting him to come. They shall be called, sought out. Our Lord says in John 4, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. They're going to be called sought out. They've got a name, the holy people. They've been made holy in Christ. They're going to be called the redeemed. They're being redeamed by the blood of Christ. They're going to be called Zion and Jacob and Israel and all these other names. But they're going to be called sought out. And the thing of it is to see how graciously, how gently, how successfully, how mercifully God seeks His sheep, His people, His elect. No matter who they are, no matter where they are, no matter what condition they've fallen to, they'll be sought out, they'll be found, they'll be brought, they'll be saved, they'll be delivered, they'll be rescued, because He'll bring them. His timetable is not on our timetable. He's not in nearly as big a hurry as we are. But He's sure. And He'll be successful. They're called sought out. I say no matter who they are. Whether they're a Saul of Tarsus, steeped in the worst idolatry, religious, self-righteous, just about everything you can imagine to make us say it is impossible to get through to Him, impossible to save Him, impossible for Him to see His need, impossible to bring Him to the truth. But one day on the road to Damascus, He was sought out. He was found. He was found out. The Lord just unhorsed him, put him in the dust, and saved him. I say He'll do it no matter where they are. They might be in a desert place. A desert place like the Ethiopian eunuch traveled in. Or the desert place like Afghanistan or Iraq or any, where they were there, wherever they at. He sent Philip down there. Philip didn't know altogether why he was there. But the Lord had him out in the desert, and he's walking along in the desert place, I suppose, and all of a sudden he sees a little caravan coming, a man in a caravan and a chariot riding, and he's reading something there. He goes by him, he says, "Hey, you understand what you're reading? How can I accept some man show me?" He joins up in there, goes into the chariot, preaches the gospel to him. They stop the chariot, he's baptized, Philip's on his way, the Ethiopian eunuch's on his way. That wasn't in a church. That wasn't in a cathedral. That was just wherever God ordained. Or like Onesimus, he's in jail. In the prison house. He's been sent there because he's a runaway slave. Well, you say, I don't believe in slavery. I don't care. He was there because he was a runaway slave, and what might appear to have been awful in man's sight was an instrument of God's grace to him, because in prison he heard the gospel from Paul. Maybe the Philippian jailer. He was just down there and that, doing that work, doing that job, serving the government, and all rough individual had to be for that job. But when the Lord rattled his cage, there was more than an earthquake physically that took place, that there was an earthquake spiritually that disrupted that man's contentment and strength. He called out on the Lord. Lydia. She's in a place doing business. Sell her purple. In the same city where Paul was. She's being sought out. He's been going with the gospel all the time. And she's been going with her need all the time until such a time as God appoints when she is sought out. What about Paul? And he says the saints in Caesar's household. Soldiers and maids and cooks and whatever, we don't know. But they were in Caesar's house. They were part of the government. They were part of this and that and the other. But he calls them saints. Because when those men were brought in there and tried and convicted and charged with everything, they heard the gospel. Because they were sought out. I say no matter what they've become. There's a fellow in Mark 5. I believe he's about as low as you can see. They call him the maniac of Gadara. And he's so wild, he's so ferocious. They tried to keep him in chains, but they couldn't hold him in the chains. They're just like so many people who've been restrained, tried to be restrained by religion and morality. But they just won't. They break out. He's been cutting himself with sharp rocks, scaring everybody, living in the graveyard, full of demons. But the Lord Jesus Christ steps out on the boat, onto that shore, and that man comes raging toward him. He's going to do like he's done everybody else. Except the demons in him are rebuked. And the man is saved. The man is brought to be seated and in his right mind. He's sought out. And this old book is full of that. And more than that, this whole world is full of that. Every single believer here this morning, every single one of us has a different course, a different way, but grace and God and the Spirit of God sought us out and found us. Because God had something to give us. A free, a full, and eternal salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but when I consider all my running, all my fleeing, all my hiding, I have to acknowledge that it was God who did the saving, and it was God who did the seeking. And He sought me till He found me. Peter says it like this: "For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." God's going to have His people. And as we sang that song, I sought the Lord, but afterward I knew. He was the one that sought me. He's always the one who does the saving. In tenderness, He sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on His shoulders brought me back to His fold again. While angels in His presence sang until the courts of heaven rang. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. Our Father, we thank You for omnipotent grace. For grace that is not just general benevolence, but a saving power. We acknowledge You as the seeker, as the well, as the Savior of our souls. We thank You for our great Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I give my life for the sheep. But who also said, them I must bring. Thank You for bringing us. Thank You for bringing all Your sheep. Thanking You ahead for the sheep that You'll bring. We give You all the glory and praise in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.